Another important area where I've been involved in radioimmunotherapy has been in the role of radioimmunotherapy in the treatment of mantle cell lymphoma. And our trial is complete. We've treated 25 patients with sequential radioimmunotherapy first and then chemotherapy. And this is a little bit different clinical trial design than many of the trials that have been done to date, where the disease was shrunk away with the chemotherapy and then mopped up with the radioimmunotherapy. The most important benefit of doing the radioimmunotherapy first in a disease, particularly where we don't know what the activity of the agent is, actually gives us a window to look at how active radioimmunotherapy is for mantle cell lymphoma. And that, in fact, was the most impressive part of this study. About 80% of patients respond to the radioimmunotherapy, about 45% have a complete response, and 35% of the patients have a molecular complete response. We can no longer detect abnormal cells in the bone marrow as a consequence of the radioimmunotherapy. Interestingly, when we then went ahead and gave the CHOP chemotherapy didn't add anything. No additional patients were converted to a complete response. And in fact, all of the long-term patients who have had long-term benefit were those patients actually who achieved a molecular remission based on the radioimmunotherapy alone. So what does this tell us? It tells us that CHOP is not very good therapy for mantle cell lymphoma, and it certainly won't address minimal residual disease. So we might have actually put the treatment in the wrong order. That's quite possible. And our follow-on study is going to look at rituximab and CHOP, and then we're going to mop up with radioimmunotherapy. And that's for the elderly patients who can't get a transplant. But for our younger patients, we're going to incorporate the radioimmunotherapy as part of their transplant strategy. So they're going to get a rituximab and CHOP followed by ICE induction, which we've shown already is a very, very good way to prepare people for transplant. And then we're going to add radioimmunotherapy and transplant for that younger patient population. So it's two different populations, an elderly population that will get chemo followed by radioimmunotherapy and a younger population that's going to get chemo, radioimmunotherapy, and then transplant. But what I think we've shown is that radioimmunotherapy is a very active single agent for mantle cell lymphoma and should be incorporated and tested in initial treatment strategies.
Any correlation between tumor bulk and response to radioimmunotherapy?
There are a number.
In this study.
In this study, actually, no. It wasn't that large that we would be able to say in a definitive way, but we do know that we had patients with very bulky disease. One patient had a mass in excess of 10 centimeters, and he achieved a complete remission, including a molecular complete remission, whereas, you know, other patients with more modest disease did not have responses. So there wasn't a strict correlation between bulk and response. But there are a couple of things about this trial. This is untreated patients with mantle cell lymphoma, so they're going to be the most sensitive of all patients. And mantle cell lymphoma is remarkably radiosensitive. I mean, we actually, I think, oftentimes ignore the fact that mantle cell lymphoma is so radiation sensitive because it's a systemic disease. So even though you can make a very bulky mass disappear with 2,000 centigray external beam radiation therapy, it's really a palliative treatment. But with radioimmunotherapy that can be delivered systemically, we actually envision this as not a palliative therapy, but hopefully a critical part of the treatment to induce long-term remissions.
Were you surprised when you saw these tumors go away?
I was surprised at the overall response and the quality. Obviously, I had some belief in it because I wouldn't have done the trial the way I did. But the degree of response and the quality of response is better than I would have expected with radioimmunotherapy alone. I thought I was going to start things moving in the right direction and then really clean up with the chemo. Unfortunately, the chemo didn't help me here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think whether it was intuitive or counterintuitive in terms of, I think we've gotten used to the idea conceptually that maybe you'd expect a 10 centimeter tumor not to respond to this. But I guess the drug delivery and the radioisotope delivery should theoretically go to the whole tumor.
Well, you know, when you look at animal models and then you cut out the tumor and you do an autoradiogram, you often see the radiation only penetrating the outer shell.
Right.
And that's what makes you think that, oh, gee, this might not be very good for large tumors. But we, a number of years ago, published an analysis of our early patients treated with I-131 tocilizumab, and we looked at dose distribution across tumors of various sizes. And we actually got pretty good dose delivery across from very, very small lymph nodes to really quite large lymph nodes, as large as 7 centimeters. So why there's a difference between what you see in a mouse experiment and then the results in the human is not entirely clear. We do know that bulky disease is still a relatively poor prognostic factor for response to radioimmunotherapy, both up front in the University of Michigan study as well as at relapse. But it's a relative factor, not an absolute factor. We know some patients with 10 centimeter masses will achieve complete responses. There are going to be occasional patients with 2 centimeter lymph nodes that won't respond.